In recent years, there have been unsettling increases in childhood anxiety, ADHD, developmental disorders. What's causing these things? What is it about? Could it include diets? Maybe a variety of digital media exposure or something? Or something that's happened to the unborn child in utero? Well, we've got somebody who could give us some insight into this and other things related to motherhood and early childhood. We have with us a clinical social worker, psychoanalyst, and a parent guidance expert who's been practicing private practice in New York City for the last 25 years. Erica Komisar joins us. Good morning, Erica. Thank you for sharing a time with us. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Bruce. Thank you for having me on.
The book is called Being There, Why Prioritizing Motherhood in the First 3 Years Matters. And I read in your introduction you even prioritized putting this book together because your own motherhood was kind of calling you at that time. Explain that story.
So really, I started thinking about this book about 13 years ago. And my children are teenagers now. But as important as this book is and was at that time, I really felt that if I wrote it at that time, I wouldn't be prioritizing my own children. So I was walking the walk, which is, I knew that I had time to write this book, but, you know, in the last 13 years, there's been an increase in mental illness in children, an epidemic level of emotionally troubled children. So I really felt that it was the time to write this book.
How does that take us into, I guess, the understanding of how that type of affliction are happening is related to early motherhood-child connection and how long a motherhood for the child really matters. Explain that to us.
So the first 3 years of a child's life are called the critical window of brain development. By 3 years old, 85% of a child's social, emotional, or right brain is developed. And that part of the brain is really important for so many things, including resilience to stress, the ability to regulate your emotions, reading social cues, being able to handle yourself in a classroom, and to handle frustration. So all of these things, the disorders I was seeing in children were really disorders of emotional regulation and or stress, children under stress. So again, there are two things that mothers do all day long. One is protect children from stress, which lays the foundation for their resilience to stress in the future. And the other is to regulate their emotions all day long from moment to moment. After that 3-year period, children can then do that on their own. And I was seeing that children could neither regulate their stress or regulate their emotions.
Is this something only a mother can do for a baby? What about another parent or another type of caregiver?
So mothers are unique to children, and there's a lot of research to show that mothers are unique in terms of babies identifying their mother's voices, the smells of their mothers, even being able to identify different pictures of women. And they've done fMRIs with babies to show that their brains light up when they see pictures of their mothers versus other women. So mothers have a unique presence in babies' lives. That doesn't mean that you can't get wonderful surrogate care for your children. And the best kind of care would be family who have the same investment in your children as you do as a mother. And then fathers can be wonderful caregivers, but fathers are not exactly the same as mothers from a biological perspective.
Erica, 3 months of maternity leave seems to be a pretty common practice. Where do you stand on that?
So I think it's horrendous. We don't have, for a civilized country, we're very uncivilized. We really don't have any real maternity leave policy in this country. We only have the Family Leave Act, which just holds women's jobs for what comes to a few weeks, rather than having a real paid maternity leave policy. Maternity leave is not a luxury. Maternity leave is a necessity for mothers and for babies' health and for the health of society. So we're really very behind in terms of our place in the world, in terms of recognizing the importance of mothering.
When you were looking at this, did you find other cultures that sort of are practicing this in a sense, and you see the results of it?
So, you know, we know that many of the Northern European cultures, like Sweden, have 18 months of maternity leave or paternity leave combined. And, there, you know, you basically can look at any other country around the world And you'll see that they have some form of maternity leave policy where women are paid to stay home with their children. In some societies, women are actually paid fully for the first 3 years to stay home with their children.
We're talking today with Erica Komisar. The book is called Being There, Why Prioritizing Motherhood in the First 3 Years Matters. Talk a little bit about what are the other things that are happening during those 3 years and how you expect women to sort of balance, you know, what they're doing in their life when the child comes into their life, and how they can make this work so that these other things that you're talking about developmental disabilities, disorders, anxiety, don't come about. What are some of your suggestions for that?
Well, first, let me say it's really not a book about working versus not working. It's a book about prioritizing children. And whether you stay at home or you go to work, the idea is that, you know, life is long. You can do many things in life. You just can't do them all at the same time well. And so, you know, your children need you and your emotional and physical presence as much as possible in those first 3 years. But that doesn't mean that mothers should never be apart from their children. That would be both unrealistic and not healthy for mothers or children. But, you know, even the kind of work that we think about doing or at the level that we think about doing it in those 3 years, it's really important that mothers have control and flexibility in those first 3 years so they can prioritize their children.
What are some of the things that women can do, I guess, to make sure that they're doing it correctly as opposed to just being there?
Right.
Title of the book said, is that enough, or what does it really entail to being as being there?
The book is full of tips for mothers. So it's both a practical mothering and parenting book, and I'm hoping fathers read it too, because fathers are critical in terms of supporting mothers in this role. If a father understands how important this 3-year period is, fathers and mothers together make accommodations, even doing with less financially, so mothers can be as available to their children as possible. But there's a lot of practical advice in the book, too. I'll just give you a couple of pieces of practical advice. One thing is that we're distracted as a society, so even when we're with our children, we're on our phones, we're on our computers, we're watching television, we're not really interested in our children. And so for children to grow up healthy, mentally healthy and physically well, we really need to focus on them, be attentive to them, but really be interested in them. So the word I would use is to be interested in your children is how they grow up to feel a good sense of self-esteem and be interested in themselves. So putting your distractions and your technology in a basket at the door and not touching it until your children are asleep, that would be one very practical tip I would give to working and non-working mothers.
You give some good advice also related to when you're leaving your child, you know, whether it's just leaving the room or going away or something like that. You mentioned something mm-hmm. about you should always say goodbye to your child when you leave or mm-hmm. something like that. What's the point of that, or how does that work in a child's mind? What's happening when you're not there, I guess, is what's going on with the child
there. Right. So many women and many mothers and fathers will rush out the door because they feel guilty. And the truth is that children need to say goodbye because they need to mourn your loss. And then when you come back, you need to repair that loss with them. So, you know, I say attachment is as important as healthy separation. So, again, mothers, even if they run out to the supermarket or they run out to take a walk outside or go to the gym, they're going to be separating from their children. And saying goodbye is a way to help define the going out, and then when you come back in, immediately processing with the child the coming back in. So that's a very important thing to say goodbye, that when you feel guilty, you have to overcome that guilt so you can really do what's right for your child.
The book is called Being There, Why Prioritizing Motherhood in the First 3 Years Matters. Our guest today, Erica Komisar, is clinical social worker, psychoanalyst, and parent guidance expert. Been in practice for quite a number of years. If people want to look at this book or find out more about some of the tips you have, where's a good place for them to get some details on that?
So the book is for sale online and also in bookstores, and my website is www.komisar.com.
Thank you very much for your time, Erica. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce.